Thank you so much for that. And we're going to take our Bibles tonight. We're going to start off in 2 Kings. Book of 2 Kings, chapter number 20. And we are beginning our series tonight, going with our theme for this month, strengthening our faith for our families, trusting the Lord to help us this month. I believe He will. We put up now Brother Vladimir and his family's mission letter up on the board tonight. So if y'all want to go by and read that, and do that. He's do that. He's got some good things there, and some things you definitely want to be praying about with him, and sure be a blessing to you. Then hold your place there. We'll be looking there first, but we'll also be looking in Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll read that here in just a moment. And we've got glad we've got plenty of time tonight and to cover what we want to cover. I'll try not to be too long, and because we've got a few weeks now, or several weeks that we're going to be able to cover for this month, and dealing with the thing with this with this series on the home. In 2 Kings chapter number 20. The Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. It came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on a boil, and he recovered. Now, the Bible says there in verse number 2, verse number 1, He came to him, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah. He says, Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What bad news that is for King Hezekiah. But what good news it is that he actually had time to do what God had commanded him to do, which was, first of all, you need to make sure your house is in order. And what a command this is. And the phrase, to be in order, kind of makes me think about the phrase you see a lot of times, to be out of order. You ever see, you go to a vending machine or a Coke machine or whatever, and you see it's out of order. And it simply means that the machine is not functioning properly. And Hezekiah was commanded to make sure that your home is functioning properly, because when you die, you want to make sure things are in order, that your home will continue to go forward and not be broken, you see. And we need to make sure this day and time. It seems like that homes in America are not functioning the way that they should function. And this is one topic that should be preached upon more out of Baptist churches across America than any other time, I believe, in history than now, is to make sure our homes, you see, are in order. For if our churches are to operate properly, we need our homes in operating properly. In these next few weeks, we're going to take a look at each aspect of our home. We're going to examine those things just to see how well are our homes operating. How well are our homes functioning according to the Scriptures, you see. And if one thing is out of touch, if one thing is out of order, then it sets everything out of order, you see. And hopefully this won't be too much of a repeat for these that was here during the men's meeting. Amen. And we'll cover a couple of those things as well. But I want to deal with this thought, and this will be our first series on the home tonight, and trust that the Lord is going to help us. So let's pray, okay? And let's go ask God to help us. And you ask God to help you, not only tonight, but during the course of this study, that the Lord would show me something. Don't go into this thinking you know everything or everything's okay, because the moment you do, that'll be the moment that the old devil will rock you to sleep during these series, and you'll not get what God is wanting you to receive, you see. So let's put aside everything that we know and pretend that we don't know anything and allow God to help us, okay? Let's pray tonight. Father, we ask you to come to us tonight, Father, and this message tonight, I just pray that you deal with our hearts. Father, we need your grace tonight. We need you to speak to our hearts, Lord, concerning these things. Father, I pray that you'd speak to every man and woman, boy and girl tonight. Father, and we know that you'll do a great work, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to set our hearts toward you. Father, we know that, Lord, it doesn't matter what I say, Father, or what we hear, Lord, or what we read, but we know that you're a changer of hearts. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would help our hearts tonight to go in the right direction, Lord, to be centered in the right direction. Father, help us, Lord, as husbands and wives, our marriages, Lord, and our communication with our children with our parents, and the obedience and the submissiveness of our homes to you, Father. Help us to submit to you as a whole tonight, Father. Help us to give ourselves to you right now in prayer tonight so that we will be able to receive what you'd have for us. And Father, if you don't change hearts, I know they will not be changed. And Father, this message is being recorded. Maybe somebody will be listening to this by way of the internet. Father, I pray that you would help them tonight. God, I pray that you would encourage their homes, Father, their husbands and the wives, the children. Lord, I pray that you would help our homes. Father, help us now to turn toward your word, Father, and just be obedient to what you'd have to say. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do tonight now. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Now, turn with me back over to Ephesians, and on this thought of keeping our house in order. And we see some things tonight in this particular chapter, and we've probably read these verses numerous of times. And I'm sure that you've probably heard messages on the home from a lot greater men than I'll ever be, and a lot greater preachers than I'll ever be, I'm sure. But I trust that the Lord will help you in some way tonight. If you'll allow him to. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, verse 21, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In chapter 6, verse 1, we'll read just a few verses here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, We're going to deal with a few of these verses and several others as well tonight as we go from several books to different books of the Bible. You can turn there or you can just write them down, mark them. I encourage you on studies like this to make sure that you get those scriptures down. Because I don't want you to take anything that I say as it's anything that Pastor Shoemaker is putting out. Because I don't want that at all. I want you to know that it's God. It's in God's Word. If we're going to get anything, let's get it from God's Word. Amen. Let's not try to get anything from ourselves and what we think. Because nowadays, from what's taught in the Scripture, from what the world thinks about the home, if you just open your eyes and do a little reading, do a little watching and what goes on around, you'll find that the world is headed in an opposite direction as far as the thoughts on the home than anything that God has wrote and has worked and had great success. I won't say great. Hey, it's had perfect success for those that have followed it to a T. Amen? Perfect success. There's no perfect family, but there is perfect law. Isn't that right? There's no perfect people, but there is a perfect command. And if we'll take those things, then we'll have some good success in our homes. As we think about this thing, I wanted to read this part tonight before we started, because I've listened to preachers as they have taught on the home before, and they say, well, tonight I'm going to hit the men, and then I'll get you women next week, or I'll get you women next time, or I'm going to hit these women, and I'll get you men next time. Well, I'm going to do this a little different for us. I'm going to get a man, then I'm going to get a woman. How about that? And we're going to start, first of all, with the man and the woman in the home and their roles that they play in the home. And we're going to see this through the Scriptures, okay? And so if you get aggravated tonight, don't get aggravated at Brother Shoemaker. You get aggravated at God, because it'll come straight from the Bible, okay? We'll talk about the man and the woman's role tonight. And then next Sunday night we'll deal maybe one or two more, because I'm sure I won't get all these tonight. And then we'll also deal a little next week on the children. Amen. And oh my goodness, that's the only time you're going to say amen right there. We'll get the children next week. Amen. And we'll set them on the front pew next Sunday night. That's what we're going to do. We're going to set them on the front pew. Make sure you get your children here next Sunday night if you want to preach too. Amen. And because we're going to fire both barrels at them next Sunday night. But we're going to talk a little bit about this thing on the home, starting with the man. And I think, first of all, the first things first, the man is commanded in the Scriptures, first, we're to love our wives. That's first and foremost. Above anything else, as far as in our life, we are to make sure our wives are loved. Colossians 3:19 says this, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Hey, that's in there for a reason, isn't it? These people can try to frustrate me. I'm not easily frustrated by people, but my wife can frustrate. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You live with your spouse long enough, and they can just, oh, Brother Chad, don't shake your head like that. They can frustrate you more than anybody else. It could be somebody standing before you, and you just be like, well, the Lord loves you, dear brother. The Lord loves you, dear sister. But if it's your wife, you're like, okay, here it comes, honey. And you're ready to go at it. It's something how it's easy to get bitter at your spouse than it is anybody else, because they're underneath you. They're right there in your ear, when you get home. They're right there in your ear when you do something wrong. I was talking about talking. Literally, my wife was in my ear tonight. That's just funny that I said that. I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm like, honey, I cleaned my ears. Stop picking my ears. Right there in your ear. And It's easy. It's easy. Now, you know, it's easy. I'm not talking about the cleaning of the ears now. But I'm talking about the words. I mean, it's easy to get bitter. It's easier to get aggravated at your spouse than is anybody else. And that's a command. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And this is mentioned three times through the course of this, the latter part of Ephesians 5. We'll see it in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We are to love our wives to the place that we are giving ourselves to her in such a manner of forsaking our comforts and fulfilling not her wants, ladies, but her needs, you see. If we're thinking about this in the latter part of Ephesians 5, in which this is what he's talking about, this is concerning Christ and the church, right? So let's put this in perspective as Christ and the church. Christ is not trying to fulfill our wants, but he is. He is fulfilling our needs, you see. He left the portals of glory, put himself in the form of man, died on an old cross because you need salvation. He was giving himself, leaving that comfort and giving himself for his bride. And this is the way that husband is to love his wife. He is to put himself, as far as giving himself to her to fulfill her needs, and even if it means forsaking some comforts of his own. Amen, men? Yes. Amen, guys. Well, y'all, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Forsake comfort. Secondly, we should love them more than our own selves. Watch this in this verse number 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, what man ever didn't take care of himself? I mean, if you had a messed up pinky, you'd try to get it fixed, wouldn't you? If you had a broke leg, I mean, you're going to try to tend to it and care for it. Take it to the doctor. I'll get that out. Doctor. Take it to a doctor. Put a cast on it. You're gonna tend to those parts of your body that's affected in such a way. And our husbands ought to tend to the wives as if they're tending to a broken part of their body or a part that has been hurt or damaged. We are to care for that member as if it is one of our own, because he mentions here that it is. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. When she hurts, men, you are to care for her in such a way because she is part of you. I mean, she's part of your body. You are to hurt when she hurts. I mean, it would affect us, and that's the part right there, I believe, when Colossians 3:19, that's the reason I want to read that first. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. When a man becomes bitter against his wife and it begins to grow in his heart, he is not affected by her hurt. He's not affected by her disappointment. Her discouragement, the things that she is going through, those needs are being unmet because of the bitterness in his heart, and the love begins to diminish. And if there's any disconnection there, we need to get back to that place to where her needs. And there's something wrong. Either we're not staying with God and our fellowship's just not there on both parts. Or maybe somewhere along the line there has been some type of barrier that has been broken down as far as our orders in our homes. And it could be both parts. It could be that the man's not doing what he's supposed to do, and it could be that the woman's not doing what she's supposed to do. But if both parties are doing what they're supposed to do, then there'll be no bitter, there'll be no anguish, and her needs will be met. Okay? Physically, the man's got to work, amen, provide for his own. That's part of his job. He's got to labor, provide. He's got to do what he's got to do to make sure the bills are paid, to make sure the food's on the table and everything's met. I don't think we have any problem with any man in our church doing that. But not only physically, but emotionally. And we'll see that just in a little bit. But as we think about this, and thirdly, it's mentioned in Ephesians 5, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I want to say that we are to love our wives first and foremost above everything. Above boating, above hunting, above all those other things. There'd be some men, I assure you, would put those things above their wife and rather do some of those things than be with their wife. They would rather go off to the hunting ground with their buddies and spend 2 or 3 weeks there instead of doing anything else. And did anybody see any of the commercials about the men that went to the Super Bowl? Have been going to the Super Bowl all their life, you know? And that old man was sitting there, well, you know, I've missed babies being born, and, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, and anniversaries and birthdays, and, you know, when you got something that you'd put above everything else, then that's something wrong there. It seems like our thoughts are geared in a wrong pattern. We're so selfish. Even as husbands and wives, our thoughts are so selfish because we're geared to what we want and what our desires are above what our spouse's desires are. And it shouldn't be that way. Even for a husband toward a wife. And it seems like, men can be kind of chauvinistic sometimes, especially in independent Baptist churches. They can be. They can be to a place, and I'm not trying to be humorous here. They can be to a place to where they're just bossing and almost overpowering. It's a lordship. Okay. There shouldn't be fear in a relationship between a husband and a wife. There should be reverence, but there shouldn't be fear. God doesn't want you all the time, every time you wake up in the morning, going, God, I wonder if God's going to strike me dead today. That isn't the kind of fear that God is looking before His children, but He is looking for reverence, you see. A godly fear. A place to where we say, well, I don't want to make that person angry. How many said that's godly reverence? I don't want to make God angry, do you? I don't want to make God upset. Because I love Him, and He loves me. He cares for me. He provides for me. He's done so much for me. And literally, as the bride of Christ and my precious Lord, I don't want to hinder anything there. And that's that godly reverence that we should have toward God, you see. And a wife should have that same godly reverence toward her husband. And he should want that. But for that, he's going to have to love her like Christ loves the church. He's got to gain that respect as Christ does the church. The husband is to gain that respect by his love and his admonition for his wife, that she knows that he's there. She knows that he's going to be there no matter what. No matter what happens, he's going to make everything okay. And because God does that for us, we fear Him. We reverence Him, you see. As we think about this, though, not only do we see the man's role, but here's one of the woman's. First, the man's to love the wife, but first, she is to be in subjection or submission to her husband. Now, understand, I'm not trying to, and you know, this world, this is one thing that the world really rejects about biblical separation and doctrine as far as what the Bible has to say about the woman's role in the home. They would want to reject this thing tonight. First, she's to be in subjection. I know that may sound hard, but if we subject ourselves to the Lord, God will help that lady to subject herself to her husband. Ephesians 5:22 says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." You see that? How about Colossians 3:18? Listen to this one. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." That word fit means proper or convenient. Hey, what is proper? What's convenient? What's just right in the sight of God, you see? What fits as far as the Lord is concerned is that a woman would reverence her husband as the church is to reverence God, you see? And there's a lot of people that as the bride of Christ, I'm sure as saved men and women of God, that do not reverence the Lord like they're supposed to reverence the Lord, I'm sure. But God expects that. And as we think about the role of the wife as far as in the home, God expects that wife to submit herself under the authority, now get this, of the God-fearing man. You see, these roles take place, okay? These roles will take place in the order of God's order. You see, it takes place in the realm of God's order of the home and not our order of the home. But it is in our court, we could say, to do what we know is right, even though someone else may not. And that's hard to understand a lot of times, and it's hard to get across to some people some of the time, especially when you're trying to counsel a man, or you're trying to counsel a lady, trying to counsel a husband or a wife, to where the other partner, the husband or other husband or wife, is not doing their part in the home. They're not taking their responsibilities in the home. And it's hard on those ones that are trying to do right and are trying to live for God and they're trying to take their place. And it's hard for the one that's counseling them to sit across from the table and say, you have to do right no matter what. You know, that's hard. Hard to say, you've got to continue to do what you know is right and love her even though... Or you've got to continue to submit yourself to him, and I know there's going to be some things you're not going to be able to stand. But that is going to win his heart, you see. Think about this in 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. I mean, this plays such a vital role, doesn't it? I mean, a subjected, humble wife can do such great things for her husband in the way even if he does not submit to his own order in the realm of the home, of what God has put in place. Even if that man is not taking that place, that woman, by keeping that subjected spirit and that humble spirit and speaking to that husband in a nice way, she can still win the heart of that husband, you see. And in the same way, vice versa, I believe that man is going to win the heart of that wife if he continues. And I understand that you say, well, he can just tell her to do this and tell her to do that and... You know, God has to change hearts, you see. God has to change hearts. Now, there are some things that I believe a man's got to step up and he's got to say, listen, we are going to have to do this and we're going to have to do that. But it is still that woman's place to say, if whatever you say right there, if you have sought the will of God, then let me submit to it. You see. I think about 1 Peter 1:5. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Did y'all get that? The holy women who also trusted in God? Now understand, a subjective wife is the reflection of her faith in God and the holiness of life that she is to live. And a subjective wife, it shows that. It doesn't take a long time to tell whether a woman trusts the Lord and follows God by watching how she treats her husband. I mean, you get a woman that's always mouthing off against her husband, and I assure you that's not a woman that's following God. Because she's not trusting the Lord. She's not exemplifying holiness in her life. And because of that, it doesn't take long to tell that lady is not a lady of God. Hey, listen, ladies, your subjection to your husband not only is for your benefit as far as your fellowship with God, but it is your benefit as far as your testimony in the public's eye and winning people to Christ, winning your husband to Christ, winning your family to Christ. Hey, I don't know how many we've had family get-togethers on my side of the family and on my wife's side of the family. And I can honestly say there are times when I've seen, you know, some women start mouthing off and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. But you know what? Those that says we're Christian, they know that this family's going to church and this family's trying to live right. It's good for that woman to be in subjection to that husband and speak kind words to him. And when she does, she begins to show forth that Christian spirit that she's supposed to. She begins to shine in the midst of a dull family. In the midst of unsaved women, she begins to shine because of her humble spirit before her husband. I would say you want to win your family, you want to win your friends, you want to show forth that, then humble yourself before God and then allow Him to submit yourself before your husband. That's following God. Now, thirdly, watch this. Not only as a man, first we are to love our wives, but listen to this. As a man, second, as far as our order in the home, we are to lead the way. We are to lead our way. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now think about this. Nowhere in there do you find where the wife is commanded to raise the children. Now, a lot of times, you know, even in our independent Baptist churches, we've got that flip-flop. They're like, "I'm going to go and bring home the bacon, and she's taking care of the children." That's your job, ma'am. No, no. That's not your job, you see. It's your husband's job to rear those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, you are to subject yourself to what your husband is saying as far as those scriptures talk, and you are to back him in all those things and make sure your children see you back him and make sure you know that you are enforcing what your husband has already set forth by that Bible. And if you do, then you're in your place and he's in his place, but it is not your responsibility. It is your husband's responsibility to tell those children what that Bible says and to rear them up by the way of the Scriptures. Problems. First problem that we find that many times is a man doesn't take his responsibility. Is that right? A man, a lot of times, doesn't take the responsibility he should be taking as far as making sure those things are getting done. Second, we find the woman, a lot of times, doesn't step aside and allow him to make those decisions. She doesn't step aside and say, "Okay, honey, if this is what you say, then go ahead. You teach them, you do this, you do that. This is what God has put in your path. This is your duty as a husband in this role, or a father in this house. Then you do it," and she steps aside instead of making a lot of problems and creating a lot of waves against that husband. It'd be nice to deal in some calm waters, lady. Sometimes you get problems from both sides. Thirdly, both sometimes are in rebellion to God, and none of them are really submitted to the Lord, and the child never really gets nurtured and raised up in the admonition of God. I mean, there are problems with this on many occasions, but if the order of the home is set forth right, then we'll find success in the home. And if it's not, then we will be unsuccessful. Why do children grow up and the parents in later years go, "I just don't understand what happened"? Well, there were some breakdowns in what should be in the home. Think about this. It's the father's and husband's responsibility to make sure that the things that are going on in the family is steady. Okay? That's where they go to church, how the family dresses, the standards, the disciplines. Hey, it all lies on that husband and on that dad. As the priest of that home, he is to take responsibility for it. We need more men to step up and to take that responsibility and say, "I'll do what I'm supposed to do as a husband and as a father, and I'm going to make sure I do it because it's my responsibility." And do it right, though. You know, there are ways to do things, and we'll get into this a little bit more. We're going to deal in the first couple of weeks with the basics, okay? The basic order of the home. We'll deal a little bit more later with tactics and how that we are to present ourselves, and more so about the provoking and dealing with our children and dealing with our wives and dealing with our husbands. And we've led up to this month with just a little bit here and there on the Wednesday nights and the Sunday nights and some in January on dealing with people, because that's going to help you in dealing with your spouses, dealing with husbands, uh, uh, the husbands and the wives to the husbands. We should know how to take, how to begin to deal with people and have an understanding heart if we're going to see our homes run in the right manner they should. Not just husbands and wives, but it goes forth to every aspect of the home that we would call nowadays, especially in this recession. I mean, in the recession time, from 2008 to now, there have been more grandparents moving into kids' houses than ever before to save money. Did y'all ever see that on the news? It's been unreal. The homes that went on the markets because they just couldn't afford to keep it, so they move in and they help the kids with the bills and they help them and they all live together and you know in those type homes and those type situations, it even goes to that place to where if we know how to deal with people and deal with others, then our homes can operate. We can have some good solid homes and families. As we think about this. So another role of the woman, the wife in the home, okay, is she is to be a service for her household. A service. 1 Timothy 5:14 says this, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now this is still a command in the Bible. That wasn't thus saith Mark. Okay, that was Paul. Okay, to Timothy. So let's put that on him. Okay, now listen to this. We see three things that are seen right here. First of all, the women are to marry. Okay, if that's what they choose. Now again. You know, we see the contradiction sometimes in the Bible, and me and Brother James have spoken about this a little bit before, is that Paul mentions this thing, you know, it's good to marry, it's good to have children, it's good to have a quiver full, that's fine. It's good to have a wife, and then on one hand he says, I wish you were all like I was, and not married, okay? And I believe that God should lead a young man or young woman. But I believe if they're led in a place to where they don't marry and they serve God, they're probably going to be clean and they're going to be pure and they're going to be holy all the way to that point and they're going to be relying upon God the whole time. Now, can that happen? You betcha it can happen. And praise God when it does. It don't happen often, amen. But praise God when it does. But when he's dealing with the young women, he says, these are the things. When you marry, okay, marry, bear children, guide the house, and then the fourth thing, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So this is the rule of thumb for that young woman that is going into the homemaking business with her husband. Now listen to this. She is to marry, bear children, and then after that, today's society stops at number two. Y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? They stop at number two. Number three, she is to guide the house. That's in the Bible. Guide the house. Number four, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. She is to make sure, this is what we get women as far as your payday. You see, the pay is not very good when you're a homemaker. My wife, and praise the Lord, I mean, she was in agreement with me when we got married, and that's a blessing. She's not worked since we've been married, and she's been a homemaker, and that's a wonderful thing. But, honey, the pay has not been that good for you, has it? It's not been that great. But you know what? That's not the payday. The payday comes whenever your children grow up and they're not a reproach on your home. When you produce some boys and some girls that know how to give back and give place to the society around them, and they're respectful and they're honorable and they're having a place in society where they're not a reproach on their family and on the community. Hey, that's your pay when you can look and say, me and my husband have raised some good God-fearing boys and some good God-fearing girls. Hey, that's that mama's pay when she just sits back and she says, thank you, God. I was able, by your grace and your help, I was able to guide this house in the right way. You know what? I have, and on deputation, I never really thought that I would see it as much as I did, but on several occasions, I talked with older people after some services that I had preached. Older people. And they would talk to me and say, "Would you pray?" And they would give me their son's name and their daughter's name, and they would say, "I don't know what happened. I know this one, you know, we probably didn't do as good as we could here, and we probably didn't do right here, and we were slack here." And it's amazing how the confessions come after the years have passed of the things where we know we have messed up and done wrong. But you could see the pain in their eyes as they knew they had a child outside the will of God, not doing what God wanted them to do, living in sin, or, you know, being a reproach to their family. And it's a shame, because you could see that pain in their eyes as they knew I messed up. But you know, I always love talking with older men and women where they say, "So-and-so's preaching over here, and this one's a missionary, and this one," they just got a glow on their face, and those women have a glow on their face because they know that's their payday, Brother James. They know that they've raised those kids up and to honor God with their lives. And they're happier for that. They don't have those worries, you know, that a lot of families do. I think about this. She is to be in service to her household. That's her service, you see. It shouldn't lie anywhere else in your life. Your service should be your household. And Titus 2, listen to this, 3 and 5. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Why, he just goes into deep thought there, doesn't he? Love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Listen to this, "keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." He said that the Word of God wouldn't be blasphemed. They need to teach those young women coming up how to do some things. Now, one thing in particular, and I had a guy that had wrote me and asked me a little bit about what I believed about women and their role in the home and as far as work and things involved. And I cannot make anybody do anything. And I had to tell him, I can't make anybody do anything. I don't lordship over the flock here at Faith Baptist Church. And I'll never lordship over the flock. Your life is your life, but I do have a responsibility to make sure that I tell you what the Bible says about it. Now listen to this. Listen to this real careful. In Titus 2, 5, when the Bible says keepers at home, listen to what this means. Those three words come from one Greek word, oikouros. Okay, almost can't say it. Oikouros. It means to guard or to be aware, but this is the first definition. Don't take my word for it. Go look it up for yourself. It means a stayer at home, domestically inclined. Now, I can't make anybody do anything, but I will tell you this. According to the Scriptures, we are to teach our women folk and our young women coming up, make sure that you stay there at home and do exactly what you know you need to do, and that's to keep your family straight in all aspects. You make sure that husband is supported and he's going God's way, and I'm sure hopefully he's going God's way. But you make sure you stay supporting him and cheering him on and rooting him on and encourage him in the Lord, and you keep your kids focused in the things of God, and because of that, daddy, he should have his place in rearing those children up, making sure they know those Scriptures, and you back him and you teach them those Scriptures too and say, "This is right, little Johnny, this is right, little Susie, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that, and this is what God says," and you make sure you pray with them too, and you make sure you help and back him and taking him to church and doing what you know is right. Because that's just godly. That's being a keeper. That's taking my home and saying, if this is what God has given me to keep, if this is what God that has given me to guard over, then let me do that. Well, you know, the rooster never kept the hen house. It's always the hens to make sure those little chicks are safe. They stay keep by the barn and make sure that everything's going smooth, you see.
They know it's not their job to get on the post and crow like crazy. Amen. That's not their job, not their position. They know where they're supposed to be at, and they keep there. Even nature itself knows that. But we have somehow gone off the beaten path, and our women's liberation movement has all of a sudden taken our women out of the homes and put them in places they shouldn't be, and all of a sudden marriages are broken up because of adultery running crazy throughout our communities and our societies, and we're sitting back going, what's going on? And our churches have just become stagnant on the issue, and we don't want to say anything about it anymore. Why, we'll just rip Titus 2, 3 through 5 out of our Bible and not worry about it anymore. Is that what we want to do? I don't want to do that. I want to take the whole counsel, what the Scripture says, the whole counsel of God's Word. If that's what the Bible says, let me do it. Amen. Let my wife do it. Let our home do it. Hey, if that's what God says is a good order of a home and it's good success, then let's do that, because somewhere along the line, we have not been successful. Over the last 15, 20 years, we've seen so many women coming out of the home, going back in the workplace, and the main thing is that we just can't get along without two incomes. While we've done it for a long, long time now. Amen. And I'm not even going to say how many years till I get home and get a calculator so that I'm not in trouble. But we've been doing it for a long time. You say, well, you know, what have you, you know, what do you get to see? What do you get to do? Hey, God's took us all over the place. Amen. We've got to see a lot of things by the good grace of God. But if we never got to see anything, we got some pretty good kids out of it. Amen. Amen. Got a pretty good home out of it. It's worked so far. God's been pretty good to us. And you know what? You live by your means. You live what's coming in. You learn to live off those things. It's okay. You know what? I'd rather have the joy of the Lord than have the new bass boat. Amen? I'd rather have the joy of the Lord than get to see all of Tokyo or, you know, Paris or wherever. I'd rather have that payday later on and see my kids than say, well, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. No, I need to be in church. I need to be serving God, keeping my family faithful and doing what's right. That's what I need to be doing. And I need for me to know what I'm supposed to do and my wife to know what she's supposed to do. And she is supposed to be a keeper of my home. And thank God, amen, I don't have time to... And men, we can help our wives out. There ain't no problem with that, amen. Amen. Say amen, Miss Denny. You know that's right. I don't mind cooking a little bit. I don't have time a whole lot for the vacuuming and the laundry and all that stuff. But Wendy does a pretty good job. She takes care of those things. Amen. You know what? We can help out, but understand, hey, that woman is to be that keeper at home. And it doesn't have anything to do with chauvinism or anything else. It has to do with what the Bible says and what's right and what's godly. So let's just take our roles and say, I'll do what God's told me to do, called me to do. And you know what? Where you're at as far as your role in the home will be the happiest place that you could be. Mm-hmm. Man, lastly, and I'll be done. Man, I have a couple more. Men, thirdly, we're to be learned in womanhood. Now I got, think about this. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what we get out of that verse? You know what? The only time I ever hear that verse quoted is when somebody's speaking about the wife as the weaker vessel. We want to take all that around that wife as a weaker vessel, and we want to ignore that because us men don't really understand what that means, you see. But the beginning of that, he says, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them, that's your wives, according to knowledge. Now, most women would probably admit and say their husbands just don't understand them. Am I right, ladies? Isn't that right? Men just don't understand women. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't know if I'll ever understand women. and how they operate or how they think. And just when I feel like I've got my wife pegged down, I don't. But women say they just don't understand it, so they'd probably be right. But men are supposed to be ever learning. He says, dwell with them according to knowledge, that's ever learning their needs as a weaker vessel. You see? You're dwelling with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as under the weaker vessel. That means you're exhorting her, okay, according as to who she is. And men shouldn't treat their wives as other men. They should treat their wives as women, amen. They should. I mean, sometimes we forget about that, don't we, guys? I believe. But we are supposed to be learning what are their needs. Honestly, I wish they made a university for that. They need a college for women 101 for men. Unfortunately, we don't have that. We have to learn the hard way. We have to be put in the doghouse a couple of times. And we have to, all right. We have to go back and forth until finally we say, all right, honey, well, what do you need? I just don't understand. Why don't you explain it to me? Have you ever said that? I wish that you could just... Oh, come on. I wish that you could just explain to me why you won't. And, that way I'll know. You see, women like to hide things and be secretive about things. Where men just say what they say. This is what I want, this is what I don't want, and the women want to hint around about things, give you 500 clues about what they think they need, and all of a sudden you've got to read between the lines to figure out what exactly they're thinking. You know why the Bible told us to dwell according to knowledge and not the ladies? Because we need more knowledge, okay? A man is easy to figure out, but a woman is a hard thing to figure out. But we are supposed to dwell there according to knowledge, giving honor to them as the weaker vessel. Now, if we don't do those things, if we're not taking time to try to figure that out, to try to understand our wives. Now, listen to this. He says, as being heirs together of the grace of life, and we are, if that man and that woman saved, that your prayers be not hindered. I like this, what Stinnett Blue said about this verse. And he said this, verse says that if a husband does not do these things, his prayers will be hindered. God is saying if you do not treat your wife right, your prayers will be hindered when you pray. What a thought. I'd say with him, amen, what a thought. That is a thought, isn't it? That my prayers are not going to be answered because I'm not taking time to understand my wife. Now, guys, again, you know, we was talking about the ladies a while ago. I mean, this is on us now. I mean, you know, it's really something now to where we say, am I going to do it or am I not going to do it? Am I going to take this Bible and try to do right by my wife or am I not? Am I just going to be a take charge kind of guy and it's this way or the highway? Or am I going to take some time and try to understand what my wife is feeling? It's a hard saying, isn't it? Who can know it? But it is our duty. It is what we are supposed to do. And I'm out of time right now. I don't have time for any more of these, but We'll get a little bit more in later on. But I would say, as far as our role as a husband and our role as a wife, if one of these barriers begins to break, we're going to find a shift and everything is going to be out of line in our home. And when it does, God is not going to be able to move like He needs to move. Why do we find sons and daughters going out of church and not going the way of God? Why do we find those things? Because somewhere there was a shift and our home pattern was broken down as far as that mama's job, that daddy's job, and because of their job, that son's job, that daughter's job was in line. Everything was moving in a godly direction because it was based on the Word of God. Somewhere when that thing began to shift, the pattern was broke. And that boy or that girl began to get it in their heart You know, they begin to see some things. They begin to hear some things. And all of a sudden we say, well, I don't know what happened. Really, really a lot of people do know what happened. They just don't, they're in denial. They don't want to admit. And you know what? We're really messed up. But as I'm sitting here amongst us tonight, there's not even any elderly people in here. We got husbands and wives with kids. And this is pretty important. This month is going to be very important for you. I'm praying you make every Sunday night an importance to be here and to get an understanding. Lord, help me, show me how to get my home in order, how to get my home in line, that I can be the husband I need to be, the wife I need to be, the father I need to be, the mother. We need to get our homes in order. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Court, maybe you want to come and play a little verse invitation. Maybe the Lord touched your heart in some way. Maybe there's some things in your life. You say, well, I don't want people to think, you know, I'm not doing something I should, so I'm just going to stay back here. If you want to come to this altar and pray tonight, you do that. You take that opportunity. We need to get our hearts right, moving in the right direction as far as where God would have us be. Father, we pray that you bless this invitation tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless these hearts that are here. Help us, Lord, as we set our homes in order, Lord. Help us to do right, to live right. God, to be holy before you, submit ourselves to you, that we could submit ourselves, Lord, to the responsibilities and duties that are set forth by the Word of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As she plays, if you want to come, you're welcome to come tonight.